I'm just going to read do verses 2 to 6. And just some final instructions that Paul gives us here, the Lord gives us through the pen of Paul. You might just read them together. Chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. As we saw this morning, Paul showed us something about relationships in the home. And now in this last chapter of Colossians, he moves to the wider fellowship of the church and speaks of a variety of ministries that God trusts to us. I think it's the most amazing thing that God entrusts the work of the gospel now to us. We feel very inadequate for it, don't we? But he's taken that risk and he gives it to us and he trusts us to do it. In other words, Paul here is directing our attention outwards and gives us basic outlines of Christian duty, of how we are to spread the word. And I think there's a very obvious division in these two sections. First of all, in verses 2 to 4, he speaks about speaking to God about people, and in verses 5 to 6, speaking to people about God. Paul's great longing was that the gospel should be preached throughout the world, and no one knew better than Paul that effective evangelism begins with persevering prayer. I think we often have many methods of evangelising in our church, but unless it is enshrined and surrounded by prayer, we might as well call the programs off. Because it's going to be done by us, and we're going to need all the prayer support and the dependence upon God that we need. What is the purpose of prayer? It's not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. I love the story of Nehemiah when he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. You know, he built with one hand and defended on the other, didn't he? Now, if you and I are going to be involved in persevering prayer for the outreach of the gospel, we're going to have the Sanballats and the Tobias. You know those men who came up against poor old Nehemiah? He was commanded by God to build a wall. But there were all these enemies, and so that as he worked, so he defended with a sword. And you and I, once we become involved in the battle of prayer, will need both the work to be got on with and the sword to defend us against the attacks of Satan, because as sure as eggs he'll come. He'll try to attack us in every way to put us off praying. We'll convince ourselves that we've got to get on with the job and we've got to be doing the job and get involved with that and forget about the effective prayer of which he speaks. We need to remind ourselves very frequently about this. And Paul says to us to be watchful, doesn't he? Devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful. The disciples had a problem with prayer, didn't they? They fell asleep in the garden when the Lord needed them most of all. And I think that the Colossians probably had grown a little bit sleepy and they'd forgotten to watch and pray. And that was one of the reasons why these false teachers got a foothold in the church. It's very easy to be caught off guard, isn't it? Praying is one of the hardest works of the Christian. It's an unseen work, isn't it? But it's the number one vital priority with the Word of God. Be watchful, he says, now be thankful. Paul once again adds thanksgiving to prayer. Do you know, thanksgiving keeps the soul awake to prayer. If you and I have, we're full of thanksgiving to God for something, you can't really sort of say this is a great duty. It sort of comes out of the heart, doesn't it? Thanksgiving does keep us awake to prayer. And I wonder if you've ever noticed in Psalm 107 how that four times the psalmist breaks in upon his theme to add, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men." He couldn't help himself. Once he thought about his great God, this great paean of praise came out. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Praise and prayer. Paul says, join me in prayer, and he pleads for two things. First of all, he pleads for the unlocking of a door and the unfolding of a truth. The unlocking of the door. Paul prays for open doors for the gospel, while he himself is prepared to remain behind a locked door. And the very reason that Paul's behind a locked door is the fact that he was preaching the gospel, wasn't it? If he's prepared to give up his preaching of the gospel, he could have been free, but to Paul, that would have been a real bondage. He knew that the kingdom of God was not dependent upon his freedom. And after all, hadn't the Praetorian Guard been evangelised, we saw in Philippians, Paul in prison? Hadn't Paul's epistles been written while he was a prisoner? And what are the challenge as well as the encouragement that must have been to those young struggling churches? He prays that the door will be unlocked so that the gospel shall go out. And then he prays for the unfolding of a truth. Verse 3, the second part of verse 3, he says, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, which I am in chains. The mystery of Christ, which is the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the gospel that had been hidden and now it was for everybody. Of course, the Jews thought it was just for them. They wanted to maintain their Jewish superiority. But now it was for all, for Jew and Greek, for bond and free. And the first duty of the Christians in Colossae was to open their mouths in prayer for the preachers of the gospel to whom God had called this work. And I think in our congregations we need to recognise that people who have the gift of preaching the gospel, it's not given to everyone, is it? And we need to recognise and encourage people who have that gift. I remember when Ken and I worked in a parish in Sydney, that he used to have chaps that he called BWWs, which were blokes worth watching. And there were young men in the parish who he felt had a real care for people, a pastoral gift, and a real call to ministry. And it was wonderful, in the 4 years that we were there, there were five young men who actually went into ministry. Well, one didn't. He died of cancer while he was training. But we need to look at the gifts within our congregation and pray that God will raise up opportunities for those who have the gift of preaching the word of God. So Paul says he wants them to speak to God about people first of all, and then he wants them to speak to people about God. In verses 5 and 6, he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. Paul is here speaking about the Christian's walk and talk. You know, we'll never win a non-Christian by aggressive argument or by human cleverness. We might as well put that one away from us to start off with. He said, be wise in the way you act. The outsider will be watching the way I live, the way I act and react, and they will judge Christ by us. Every Christian does have the responsibility to speak to people about God. And Paul says here, just so that he ought to speak, whatever you do, he says, do it now, I've got the wrong section here, haven't I? He said, be wise and make the most of every opportunity. The fact of he preaching the gospel and those with the gift of preaching the gospel had a compulsion upon them, but he said there's also a compulsion about the Christians. There's a difference in emphasis here. Those who have the gift of preaching the gospel have a compulsion to preach it, and those of us who are the Christians in the main have the responsibility of reacting to people. Now, this was quite an interesting concept to me because we, as a Christian, I know when I was first converted myself that I had this sense I must be telling everyone about Christ today. And I used to be, you know, so sort of upset about this, and I thought, well, you know, why can't I bring all these women I work with into the kingdom of God? But Paul says he looks for opportunities for direct evangelism and teaching, but he said the typical Christian in Colossae is to look for many opportunities for responsive evangelism. And I'm sure we're all very aware of the importance of the message we have to give, and we require great wisdom and grace in the way we present it. But here he's advising the Christians not so much to learn better techniques in approaching people. He says simply their privilege is to answer everyone. He's saying that they are to respond to the questions of others, to accept openings rather than to make them, which is quite an interesting concept, isn't it? You know, often when you're speaking with people, and people have deep needs, don't they? I think Paul isn't sounding a retreat here. He doesn't say don't go out and preach the gospel and don't take opportunities. But he's saying that if they aren't always orchestrated by us, that God gives them to us. And we need to know how to answer people. He evidently believes that opportunities to respond and explanations are to be found everywhere, for everyone deep down is looking to discover answers about life and its meaning. And Paul evidently thinks that believing Christians should be found everywhere and ready to take up these frequent opportunities. You know, it's obvious that this removes a lot of strain from conscientious Christians. You know, you do want the gospel to go out. We have a great pressure often to raise certain subjects and reach certain people, and it can make it difficult to live and talk normally. You know, you and I have often done that, and that's we've fallen on our faces, haven't we? Because we've been trying to orchestrate it. Here, I believe, Paul is saying, wait for those opportunities. If you're fully dependent upon God, he will give them to you. One of the commentators said, we go to the office to work, not to evangelise. Now, we know as a Christian, we're always in the business of evangelism, but I think a friend of ours recently, who's a professional man, he's been so keen to get the gospel out that he's been just wiped out of his whole practice because he's been neglecting his other job. I think we've got to get this in a very good balance. We pay to work. If our whole dependence and trust is in the Lord to open opportunities, he will give them to us and they will come naturally. And I think there's a lot of sense in that point. Being ready and willing to respond, the ways are often open to be more serene and successful. It gives us a much better approach to each day's opportunities. It opens the way too for a greater dependence on God's leading and a far more relevant and sensitive witness suited to each individual. It's just a thought. I thought it was quite a good point. Well, the point that Paul makes. He said, make the most of every opportunity. Paul is so practical in his teaching because he reminds us that there's never a time when our responsibilities to the outsider can be out of mind. And he gives us three musts here. He said we must be praying for opportunities for the gospel to be preached, and we must use those special moments for Christian response when people give us opportunities. They're orchestrated by God, aren't they? And three, we must seek wisdom and grace to answer with words that will awaken a non-Christian in his appetite so he'll want to know the things of Christ. And I think if we just want a few words, I've just tried to encapsulate these. First of all, pray, proclaim, and then persuade. But this might be a little helpful suggestion to us as we think about our own outreach into the community. Paul commences this epistle with prayer and thanksgiving. And in this last chapter, he returns to it once again. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. The young church at Colossae had its problems, but Paul looked right beyond them. God was at work, lives had been transformed. The world was now wide open for the gospel. And nothing really has changed, has it? If we want to see the church of God revived, if we want to have an impact as a Christian on society today, we should remember the words that God has said to us through Paul this weekend. Devote ourselves to prayer. See that the gospel goes out. Look for opportunities orchestrated by God. Be prayerful and watchful. We've seen this weekend that our preeminent Supreme Lord is adequate for salvation, for life, and for all eternity. We are in him, we're in Christ. I cannot think of a more safe and secure place than that. We're constantly urged to be thankful. Paul did it in prison, didn't he? You might find you're going home to something that you feel sometimes a bit like a prison. You might find restrictions upon you as a Christian. You can't perhaps live as you'd like to live because you've got to think of others, perhaps a non-Christian husband or some situation at home, non-Christian family. Paul could rejoice, couldn't he, under every circumstance, because he knew that God was at work. And don't get disheartened when you go back. God is at work in your situation. And try the matter of thanksgiving. You know, it does speak volumes, doesn't it? I mean, I often feel sorry for my poor husband living with a grump, you know, when things don't go right. And I think, if we so remember all the good things that God has done, it's wonderful advice on Liz's too, at the end of the day, to think of all the good things. The trouble is it'll keep you awake too long, because there'll be so much for which to be thankful, won't there? Be thankful. And we're reminded again of those wonderful words, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. We don't go in our own strength. That's something that you've heard many times. We don't, do we? We go in the power of His love and the strength that He gives us. We talked a bit today about commitment and submission. We're committed to one another in the Church of God. We're committed to the work of the Gospel. And we're submitted afresh to our Lord and to one another in the work of the Kingdom. Let's remember that as we go, that the One whom we love so longs to work in and through us, that He will fulfil His perfect plan. He hasn't sent us here this weekend just by mistake. We've come to be encouraged, to be enriched, to be built up in our faith, and read deeply into the Word of God. Know what God is saying to you every day, because you can't live without food. And if you want spiritual food to cope with every day, be very entrenched in the Word of God. Devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful and thankful, and may the Lord bless you as you return home. Shall we pray?